Well, coming up on today's show, Porsche confirms the specs for their Taycan, aka the Mission E, Audi's new concept, the PB18, heads to Pebble Beach, and a surprise delivery from Elon Musk. But first of all, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are in the world. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, the 31st of July edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Hello to Carl first up. Thank you very much for your email. Carl listens in Florida every day. Well, most days. He says, I've been catching up on the show after being away with work for 4 days. Any chance I can get the news via email? And then I can pick up on the audio when I get time. That's a really good question, actually, because I have all these show notes written, by the way. They all go up on the blog at EV News Daily. But apart from that, unless you go to the website, a little WordPress blog that I have, then there's no way of you seeing. The show notes do come up in all the usual podcast platforms, but that's a good shout, actually. Yes. We could email these show notes out if you don't always have time to listen to the podcast, but you want to kind of get up and get your morning emails cleared and have a scan through the day's news. That is an interesting idea. Leave it with me. On to the news. Fred at Electrek says he's seen some concept images which show a Tesla Model S and a Model X, an interior refresh for 2019. Now, Fred's billed it as an exclusive and does say Tesla have declined to comment thus far, taking Electrek at their word. This is a one-source story, but I think we can, in this case, as given who it's coming from, no reason to think it isn't real. In the past, they've been able to source stories with accuracy over at Electrek. There's part of me, however, saying that, not doubting their source, but there's part of me which feels uncomfortable saying this is what the cars are going to look like next year, because it is a leak, not an intentional, as far as we know, leak from Tesla. And it feels a little bit odd talking about it, so I'll keep it brief. You can go check out the website if you're super cool with having a look at this. If it's true, by the way, I'm not sure it's the way Tesla would have wanted the news revealed, as it were. Or maybe they're happy with us just all talking about it and giving feedback. For now then, you know what, I feel more comfortable calling these shots design mock-ups. Yeah, that's better. A bit like when fans do online mock-ups of what the next iPhone's going to look like. I mean, it might do. You never know. So we'll call them mock-ups. The pictures show an interior very much like, well, basically a big Model 3. Electrek says Tesla is now looking to harmonise the interior of all its vehicles and its lineup, and that means going even more minimal with the S and the X like they did with the Model 3. So what are we looking at? Well, we're looking at one large landscape screen. Of course, that'll make it much easier for the software engineers just to design for one type of screen format. And although it's not clear the screen size, I wonder if it's the same size screen as the Model 3, or whether they'll put a bigger one in to make it more premium, as the S and the X are more premium. If it's the same size, well, then you just order as many screens as cars you are making, and that will drive down supplier costs. That vent in the Model 3, the air vent, is one of the most innovative features I've seen in a car in a very long time. And I'm not surprised that Tesla would want to make that one of the pillars of their design language, if you like. Ooh, get me all fancy with design language. However, you understand that. You should be able to get in a Tesla, whatever size, 3S, X, Y, and it has some common design elements running through it. And I think that vent, incredible vent, is going to be there, one of the things they're famous for, just because it's so cool and it works really well. There's a smaller instrument cluster in the S and the X, this kind of design mock-up, if you like. So not all the information is going to be moved over to the touchscreen like we have to do with the Model 3. I won't go any further. I think I will link through to the Electrek article. You can read more, you can comment, you can look at the pictures. I think it's interesting. It's out there now, so that's why I'm talking about it. I'd love to know what you think of those designs. Well, Porsche says it wants to shift to electric cars before the other German automakers, according to details released by the Porsche newsroom today. By 2025, they say that their aim is for every second Porsche sold to have an electric drive unit, with half the models purely electric and the other half plug-in hybrid models. Porsche say they're going to release their first electric model, the Taycan, which is spelt Taycan but pronounced Taycan, and used to be called the Mission E, great, that's clear, in 2019 sometime. Current estimates project 20,000 units a year. And that sounds, because I've heard similar things being talked about in the tens of thousands with the Jaguar I-Pace. And my only comment on this would be, It sounds like a big number. I mean, 20,000 of anything to make. But then you realise that in the next 4 weeks, that's how many Model 3s are going to be made. And then 4 weeks after that, they'll be the same again. And 4 weeks after that, they'll be the same again, if not more. And you start to go, oh, these are kind of smallish numbers, but then again, a lot more expensive to buy this car. Well, let's look under the skin of what will undoubtedly be a very fast Porsche. Two permanently excited synchronous motors, shortened to PSM. Like those in the Le Mans winning 919 hybrid. They generate a permanent rotary motion, and that means you can apply it at any time without needing to get started. The Porsche say that one motor powers the rear axle, the other the front wheels. Together, it's 600 horsepower, 440 kilowatts, and they're fed by batteries designed to provide 500 kilometers of range. And my comment on that is that's not the longest range in the world, but all will be apparent in a moment. Well, the Taycan sprints 0 to 100 k's under 3.5 seconds and will get to 200 kilometers an hour in under 12 seconds. Porsche say that they're using three options. First, you can charge it at home, possible with a charging station, or they're going to go for inductive base plates on the floor of your garage. Second, charging in cities with the existing infrastructure. And third, charging along the main traffic arteries of Europe in particular, where a joint venture, Ionity is what it's called, was formed already to do that, together with BMW, Daimler, Ford, Volkswagen, and then part of that, Audi and Porsche. They're laying the groundwork for the establishment of the Ionity network, a powerful fast-charging network for EVs in Europe. Now, the construction operation of 400 fast chargers by 2020 is underway, and it's an important step, they say, to make electromobility viable on those long-distance routes across Europe and establish itself in the market. Now, for Porsche customers, the main priority is going to be able to charge their vehicle rapidly, even when local power is weak. That's now possible thanks to intermediary buffer batteries. That's what Porsche are going to be using. They always have enough capacity on hand, and it means that fast charging in 15 minutes for a range of 400 kilometres at every dedicated Porsche charging station, which we know they're putting into all the Porsche dealers. It's going to be a bit of a faff going to a Porsche dealer to charge your car in 15 minutes unless it's conveniently on the route, I would say. But that's how they're doing it. They're not upgrading the grid in all those locations. They're using some batteries, very smart. That's what we think Tesla Supercharger V3 will be in some way including at the end of this year. And coming back to that battery size, yes, it'll be, I think they're not going for a headline number on kilowatt hours due to weight. They're going to keep the weight down in the car. And they're going really big. When you read this press release from the Porsche newsroom, I'll put a full link in the show notes, by the way, if you want to go check out the Porsche newsroom yourself. They go really big on charging, charge speeds. Don't carry all that weight around all the time, but just lots of little stop, quick, 10-minute, and get up to 80% charging. So they're going for the 800-volt battery, and that's their philosophy, rather than carrying all of that energy with you wherever you go and carrying a big old battery. Well, from Porsche to Audi, and Audi has announced it's going to be showing off a brand new concept car at Pebble Beach in a few weeks. It's called the PB, Pebble Beach, the PB 18 e-tron. It's a concept car revealed first at Laguna Seca for Car Magazine. Curtis Moldrich says it's going to appear for the first time on the 23rd of August, later next month. The car takes its name, partly, and technology from Audi's all-conquering R18 e-tron Le Mans car. Well, a teaser image which has been released would suggest a wide and low-slung supercar, pretty much what you'd expect. Audi says the new car was styled at the new Malibu Design Loft, expecting a mixture of LMP1, a bit of Audi R8, and Audi e-tron Quattro concept car. And the only thing to add to that would be Audi are brilliant at making announcements. They've not made any electric cars. They've made some hybrids. They made a very expensive electrified R8. If you had a spare $1 million, that was handy to go buy one of those. That got shuttered pretty quickly, that program. So once again, come on, Audi, make some cars. We really want to see your cars on the road and getting reviewed and and owners buying them and raving about them and doing what you see every day at the moment on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, and that's new Tesla owners putting pictures up going, oh my goodness, this is the electric cars are just brilliant. We need that from lots of other manufacturers. Come on, Audi, do more than a press release. Well, having waited for years to take delivery of a Model 3, for some, these day one reservation holders, it's a reason enough to celebrate the big day. For example, see Ryan McCaffrey's Ride the Lightning midweek extra podcast talking about his big day with his Model 3 performance. But imagine, just imagine if you ordered a car, waited all those years, and then the CEO dropped it off himself. That happened yesterday. Elon was tweeting about trialling a new delivery system where an individual trailer that can carry one car takes the car direct from the production line at Fremont onto the trailer and to your door in a closed container, avoiding any unnecessary shipping, any storage, any plastic wraps to protect it like you always get on cars. Now, Elon said, and I quote, "We tried out a new delivery system using an enclosed trailer straight from the factory to the owner's home. So super convenient, and the car arrives in pristine condition without wasting plastic." End tweet. Now, the Twitter user was Devin Scott. He is at MichiganMan2007. He's from Playa Vista in California, and he posted some pictures of his Tesla Model 3 arriving and being handed over by Elon. And he tweeted this, and I quote, "When Elon Musk hand delivers your Tesla Model 3, cool emoji, fist bump, electric symbol. Thanks to the Tesla team for an unforgettable day." I think that's an interesting move for a CEO to make. Of course, it generated a ton of press. And the couple who bought the Model 3, if I'm being cynical, are pretty photogenic. They are young and Californian and not too far away from Tesla. Perhaps a car might leave the factory, for instance, in Fremont and travel X miles, right? So it goes to storage and it goes and loaded on to, and then to a service center. If that total distance then to get to the actual buyer in California is less than X, well, that makes sense. Just take it straight to them. Okay, it's not the most practical, but it's the quickest way to do it and get it off your hands and into the hands of the buyer. Going back to something that Elon said previously, though, about his job, someone asked him, "Do you enjoy your job?" This was like a really old YouTube interview, I think. And he sort of smiles and goes, "Look, all I deal with is problems. I just deal with the worst of the worst." So he was like, "That's kind of not a fun place to be." I'm paraphrasing, probably massively getting it wrong. But it's interesting that Elon does spend the time where there is the biggest problem and then gets really granular down in the dirt of how to fix it. So I think it's fascinating that he is sitting in the passenger seat of a car transporter and going out with the delivery driver and asking questions of them, the process, asking questions of the buyer, and just working out, can we do this for local buyers? How far could we do it practically? Is it just a non-starter? I mean, it's a fascinating thing. Some people, I'm sure, online would write about the fact that Tesla haven't got enough staff left and he's having to do it himself. It wouldn't be the weirdest thing that someone's written about the company this year. Well, moving on to China, and two tenders totaling 4,810 electric buses were recently put out, and the contracts awarded now to BYD in Guangzhou in China. On yesterday's podcast, if you haven't downloaded Mondays, by the way, I celebrated BYD buses, 20 or 30 of them, going to Sweden. And then I made the point, these numbers are tiny. The numbers that American and European cities are doing these big fanfare announcements are tiny. 5,000 of them in one order going to one Chinese city. The sizes of the electric buses are various, from 8 to 12 metres. The value of the two bids is $700 million equivalent. China is the world's leading producer of electric buses. Just the numbers are mind-blowing. More than 99% of all electric buses on the planet are running in China, where 17% of circulating city buses are already electric. They're on their way to a fifth, then a quarter, and they've got some big targets for electrifying miles. In 2017, 90,000 full electric buses and 16,000 hybrids were registered in the country alone. Previous year's figures were even higher thanks to government grants that are being reduced. Now, in Europe, they're running 2,000 electric buses out of a global fleet of 385,000. So much work to be done. A link to that article, by the way, in the show notes. Well, moving on. And a new forum aimed at bringing together EV charge point operators is being launched by Energy UK. The trade body's EV charging forum is going to be exploring ways to ensure the greener vehicles are integrated into the energy system properly, encouraging continued innovation and growth, according to Energy Live News. Now, considering that the energy regulator here, they're called Ofgem, they have recently set out some reforms to harness all the benefits that come with EVs, and they've currently got a consultation out on the proposals. It's another example of joining up all the interested parties. Well, it's important news because one of the criticisms often levelled at people like you and I, from those who have an interest in oil or just want to see EVs fail, is that we're going to need X many more power stations. We already know that charging your car overnight, uses up excess renewables or even excess energy that's on the grid in most countries when the wholesale electricity price dips and can even turn negative, by the way. And you can be paid to take electricity off the grid. You get paid to charge your car in some instances to balance the grid. And if you've got some PV at home, well, you can charge your electric car off your own solar. Now, this is great because in the UK, they're taking a kind of coordinated approach, if you like, to join up all the different people involved in the national energy systems with EVs. It means we can be smart about when we charge, get the solutions right, and get a proper story, the truth, to combat all the fake news about plugging in your car and your lights going out. Well, Samsung's earnings report is out, and Korea's leading battery maker posted big numbers, 2.25 trillion won, that's $2 billion in sales, and 152.8 billion won in operating profit. They said this: we expect overseas demand for ESS, that is like energy storage, right, to grow and sales of EV batteries to increase. The market for products such as power tools and electric bicycles, electric scooters, also expected to be expanding hugely and big growth for Samsung. Well, the Hyundai Kona has been slated for launch in India, but next year in 2019, and it's going to become the Korean carmaker's all-electric first one in India. According to drivespark.com, the Kona Electric is going to be assembled in Hyundai's Chennai plant, and the Kona is going to be one of 8 cars in India by 2020 that are electrified, and it's confirmed by the company's CEO at their 20th anniversary celebrations, rumours suggesting only the small battery pack being made for the Indian market, unlike on the other end of the scale, only the large extended range battery pack being made to the USA market. Well, staying with batteries, by the way, and staying there, LG Chem recently confirmed that this year the company is only going to produce the new battery cells. I've talked about this kind of battery chemistry before. Sorry if it's a little bit geeky, but I kind of find it super interesting. There's a new battery cell chemistry that reduces the amount of cobalt. So it used to be at a ratio of 6:2:2, and now it's at 8:1:1 for the NCM. So the nickel, cobalt, manganese, and cobalt being reduced just a tenth. And it is not going to be used in EVs now, as soon as they thought it was going to be, only used in electric buses. Similarly, SK Innovation also confirmed the postponement of the NCM 811 battery cells, reports Pedro at Push EVs. He says it seems that both cell makers aren't confident enough in the new battery technology and testing it at small scale. So what's the impact of that? Well, something which has taken up a bit of discussion on this show before is the difference between very similar cars, the Hyundai Kona EV and the Kia Niro EV. Very similar, both made by Hyundai, different battery packs up until now, with the Kona using the older cells that can deliver more power but are heavier, and the Kia Niro was slated, and as far as a new battery contract's in place for the new cell chemistry, that doesn't look like it's going to be happening now. So does that mean the Kia Niro is delayed, or does it mean they've sourced other batteries? It's open questions I'm asking, not speculating. I'll try and find out some more detail, and if you know any more detail, please let me know, either via email, you can hello@evnewsdaily.com, or leave a comment or send me a note via the socials. Well, final story today, and one utility company in Vermont, it's using a virtual power plant, and it consists, get this, of 2,000 Tesla Powerwalls and it's been installed in homes across the state to beat the heat, according to Steve Hanley, writing for Clean Technica. Last year, Green Mountain Power offered 2,000 customers the chance to own their own Tesla Powerwall for as little as $1,500 and then $15 a month for the next 10 years. Those lucky so-and-sos. I would take them up. Like, I would snap that up. There was a catch, though. All those power walls had to be made accessible should the utility company need it to help stabilise the grid. Well, they just did. That $8 million investment in power walls that was balked at the time by some others has already started big paybacks. In the last 7 days alone, $500,000 has been saved in the heatwave temperatures. And savings aren't being made kind of in general across the board. The way they're making these savings with the Tesla Powerwalls, it's about a specific time of the day. It's that end of day, 5 p.m.-ish peak. People get home, they whack the aircon on, they cook their dinner, all the home tech goes on. And that often means electricity gets both more expensive and dirtier because those kind of standby plants, those peaker plants, often running on coal, have to fire up, have to spin up, and they focus on very expensive generation, and that is costly for energy providers. By focusing on that little window and tapping into those power walls at consumers' homes and saying, okay, we're going to dip into your power wall now, we're going to take off like the top 10% of it, we're going to balance things out, we're going to use that energy for the next couple of hours when the electricity wholesale price is huge, and then when it comes down again, you can start to come off the grid. It has saved them $500,000 in the last 7 days alone. Green Mountain Power said this: right now, knocking down the peaks is the big advantage. But as we move ahead, there's going to be more. Things like regulation service and balancing solar and renewable intermittency. Well, another win for batteries, and maybe sometime in the future, your EV that's parked outside your house, your apartment, in your driveway, in your garage, is going to be part of a wider solution. I'm so excited about this future that we're heading towards, where you might own, so batteries are getting bigger, so you might own a 60 or an 80 kilowatt hour battery that might be normal in a couple of years' time in your EV. And there might be an incentive for you, if you're doing your commute Monday to Friday, and you know you're going to be using 20 miles, 30 miles of it. There might be an incentive with your energy company where they say, can we access, if we need it, can we access 10 kilowatt hours of your battery if it's plugged in? Might not need it, but if we do, we'll pay you this much for it. Less than they would have been playing a coal power plant, but still a good amount of money. It turns the tables. You become the one in the powerful seat. The balance of power swings towards you. Checks will start arriving through your letterbox for the energy that they've bought out of your car. And all the while, it's helping make the grid cleaner and more green as well. It's so exciting. Well, I've rattled on way too long. It's almost 25 minutes. I value your time. I know you're busy. I'm not going to go into the comment sections today. We'll do all that tomorrow. Your emails, your comments from over the weekend, I will get to them. I do promise. It's going to be a busy week as well with Tesla earnings call later this week too. I'm no Tesla expert. I'll always defer to those much better Tesla podcasts that are out there. This is much more of a general thing about EVs, but we'll of course cover it. And it's going to be another big, big week of news. Another optimistic week. Another reason to be cheerful, eh? If you want some cheering up and you want to hear some more positive news about electric cars, there's 196 previous episodes and a fair few interviews in there as well, like the one on Saturday. If you haven't downloaded it yet, check that out. It's with Ryan Morn, whose company makes components for electric vehicles and heavy duty and cars and things and performance cars. Super interesting guy to talk to and get the inside track on the company that actually makes the bits that go inside the cars, which you wouldn't otherwise know about. All of those podcasts are online if you want to download them on the usual places. Of course, on all those outlets, plus YouTube, the audio goes on, and the blog, evnewsdaily.com. Can you do me one favour? Can you, like, one tiny favour and share the podcast with somebody or some people or retweet or a community who you think might be interested? It's the way that we spread this message about electric cars. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Have a great day. Catch up on the socials by searching EV News Daily on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And I'll catch you tomorrow.